This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Someone thinks it's time for war, and I'm going to talk to him and you. Maybe you're feeling that way. We'll discuss that this hour. Do you combine my world-famous queso with my world-famous burger? Concealed carry weapons? What do I use? What do I love? Local elections? There's so much more we have to get to here on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin with what we were just kind of talking about, though. Someone emailed him. 16-year-old boy wants to join the military. His son wants to join the military. He wants him to. He says we should flood the military. I have said before, I'm actually discouraging my sons from joining, as almost, really, not almost, every GWAT vet friend of mine, every Global War on Terror friend of mine, to a man, is discouraging his sons from joining. So I'm not unique in that, but I'm not. I'm discouraging my sons. And you said it would be more patriotic. The most patriotic people need to fill up the military. And I don't disagree with you, actually. I don't think that you're wrong. But I should be honest about my reasoning. And I'm not saying it has to be your reasoning. And I should be honest about my priorities. I'm not saying they have to be your priorities. But here's how it works for me. God, family, country. And that's not some hokey thing. That's a list in order of my priorities in life, or what they should be. Believe me, I screw up on all three of those all the time. I'm not telling you I'm some model of anything. Don't ever try to be like me. I'm a horrible person. But ideally, God, family, country. Now, let's just lump the first two together, because you never have to betray one for the other. Let's deal with the family country portion of it. I love my country. I would die for it. I would. Still, that wasn't just young Jesse. To this day, I would die for it. If you told me it would help my country, I would die for it. My country is not above my family, though. My family comes before my country. I have an obligation to them before I have an obligation to my country. I'm just telling you where it sits right now. When I tell my sons, when my sons and I talk about it, and we've obviously have talked about it, and they always, you know, want to know stuff, the Marines and this and that. When I talk to my sons about it, I picture my boys serving under this administration, in this kind of military, and I can't send them there. And to drive this point home, we played this for you when it came out. I'm going to play a couple of different things for you again right now. Now, this broke my heart when I heard it, because I wasn't just picturing young Jesse. I wasn't just picturing myself there. I wasn't just putting myself in the shoes of these brave Marines who were there. It ripped my guts out, because I thought to myself, what if that was my sons? You say they should just fill it up. Just our patriotic sons should go fill up the military, and they should just go, and it's the right thing to do. Listen to Sergeant Vargas Andrews. He was a survivor of that Afghanistan terror attack. His president and his generals put him in a position where his friends were dead. He's maimed for life. Listen.
I requested for the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Brad Whited, to come to the tower to see what we did. While we waited for him, psychological operations individuals came to our tower immediately and confirmed the suspect met the suicide bomber description. He eventually arrived, and we showed him our evidence, the photos we had of the two men. We reassured him of the ease of fire on the suicide bomber. Pointedly, we asked him for engagement authority and permission. We asked him if we could shoot. Our battalion commander said, and I quote, "I don't know," end quote. Myself and my team leader asked very harshly, "Well, who does? Because this is your responsibility, sir." He again replied, he did not know, but would find out. We received no update and never got our answer. Eventually, the individual disappeared. To this day, we believe he was a suicide bomber. We made everyone on the ground aware. Operations had briefly halted, but then started again. Plain and simple, we were ignored.
How do I tell my sons to go serve under that? Hey, sir, that guy over there, that guy's a bad guy. That's a terrorist. We've confirmed that guy's a terrorist. We would like authority to take that guy out before he kills any of us. Battalion commander, well, I'm not really sure. I'll have to get back to you. Oh, I'll let him continue. Sorry, I'm picturing my son serve under this and my blood pressure is going through the roof.
About 1730, Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover, friend and mentor. Came to get me from the tower to go help find an Afghan interpreter in the crowd. We found the...
I want you to know, full disclosure, before I let him continue, that we had to edit the pauses for radio because it was taking Vargas Andrews so long to compose himself so he could continue. This is how destroyed he is, how wrecked he is. These long pauses, these are the extremely shortened version we had to do for radio purposes. I'll let him continue. Sorry, this is not going to be my
son. Interpreter and his brother, born with American passports. They told us of five family members still in the canal. I stayed there waiting for the family members standing against a 2-foot canal wall. 10 minutes passed. Then a flash and a massive wave of pressure. I'm thrown 12 feet onto the ground, but instantly knew what had happened. I opened my eyes to Marines dead or unconscious lying around me. A crowd of hundreds immediately vanished in front of me, and my body was catastrophically wounded with 100 to 150 ball bearings now in it. Almost immediately, we started taking fire from the neighborhood, and I saw how injured I was with my right arm, completely shredded and unusable. I saw my lower abdomen soaked in blood. I crawled backwards roughly seven feet because I thought I was still in harm's way. My body was overwhelmed from the trauma of the blast. My abdomen had been ripped open. Every inch of my exposed body, except for my face, took ball bearings and shrapnel.
You're going to let your son march into that, taking orders from this tranny at the Pentagon?
All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough. Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity, because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized.
Not me. Sorry. Not me. Threw the lives away of those warriors. Nope. It goes way more than just the president, but one more, Vargas Andrews. Here was the commander-in-chief, the man who, by all accounts, is responsible for the death of all of his friends.
2 minutes later, he walks in with him and Jill Biden.
Talking about the president meeting him in the hospital. He's laying there without a right arm.
And their little entourage of people and, like, a photographer. Right away, like, remember him coming up to me, trying to shake my hand. Like, I try to shake my right hand. And I look at him, and I'm like, I don't have an arm. And my left arm is in this big-ass cast with this giant orange foam block around it. I completely immobile. All I can do is move my head. My arm's gone. I'm like, I don't have an arm. And he says, oh, and like kind of stands up and then like goes over to reach for my fingers because about an inch of my fingers are showing and just like grabs my fingers. Doesn't greet me or anything. Just that's what happened. Just grabbed my fingers. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And almost immediately starts talking like about how their son served in the military. Doesn't say anything about what happened. Starts talking about how their son served in the military.
Nope. I admire you, dads. I admire you, young men who are going. I am not discouraging you I am being honest with you. My sons will not serve under that. Nope. No, sir. Not my sons. Let's go on. Dear Top 5 Napper, I've been thinking about buying another pistol to have something a little nicer and bigger to carry. I carry a little 7-round pocket pistol, which does the job. I want something more. I've been looking at the Hellcat Pro. Do you like it? Would you recommend it? All right. I, for the longest time, carried a little snub-nose 38 special, little 5-shot, just because it was so convenient to carry. Clay Martin, our friend, Marine, Green Beret, finally berated me into upgrading just for the rounds that a Hellcat Pro has. Let me tell you about concealed carry a little bit. Me, my wife's experience, my son's. Next, hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All kinds of Ask Dr. Jesse questions to get to. I'm going to get to this Civil War guy. He wants to know whether it's time to start shooting. I will get to him in a second. I just want to give you an update. Someone had asked about my concealed carry weapon. I had just carried a 38 Special for the longest time, and then I had moved to a Glock 19 because I wanted more. I wanted more rounds, essentially. There's a huge difference between 5 rounds, 7 rounds, 15 rounds, and that difference might be your life in a shooting situation. But the Glock 19, I could conceal it, but it was a little cumbersome every now and then. Not that comfortable to carry, and I love it still. I love my Glock 19, don't get me wrong. It serves a different purpose now, but I love my Glock 19. Clay Martin, our friend of the show, Green Beret guy, author, he started hounding me about this Springfield Hellcat Pro. It's a mid-size, so it's not one of the single-stack, subcompact things where you got 6-7 rounds in a mag, but it's not a Glock 19. It's not a full-size. It's considered a mid-size. It's very, very slick, very slim. It's an inch wide, yet it has 15 in the mag. Chris, I don't know how. Chris said how. I have the mag. The Hellcat Pro is a foot from the end of my fingers. I study it all the time. I clean it. I shoot it. I still don't understand how they got 15 rounds in a weapon that slick and slim, but they did. Setting that aside, by the way, I swear I'm not an I don't advertise it with Springfield Hellcat Pro. Setting that aside, maybe the thing I love the most about it is how much my wife and my sons love it. They love it to the point where if I wasn't cheap, I would have already purchased 3 more. I will get home from work and I'll immediately take it off my belt and I'll set it on the counter where all my other stuff goes. And one or both of my sons will immediately swarm onto it safely, unload it, ensure it's unloaded, and there they are doing dry fire practice in the house. Yeah, Chris, they're like $500-$600, man. You can find deals for $499, but it's certainly not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. And don't get me wrong, I'm very happy. I love it. But you're telling me I got to go buy 3 more of them? I think not. Anyway, look, I love it. I would recommend it. The fact that my sons, it fits their hands really well while giving them 15, I love that because they've really learned on smaller weapons as well in smaller rifles. My wife, she's a SIG girl, SIG 226, and she likes it. She loves it, I should say. But she's tiny. She's 5'2". It is a little big for her. A lot of these weapons they fit my hands, or maybe they're a little small for mine because I'm 6'8", a little big. The Springfield Hellcat Pro is comfortable for me and comfortable for her. So I love it. All right. Hey, Jesse. My question is, he goes into a bunch of other things about how he's, you know, done with the taking the high road, all this other stuff. He said, my question is, when will violence be appropriate and who is capable of calling the patriots to the cause? Is Trump the only one who can start the revolution, or is there a certain famous author who can do so? We're sick of not punching the bullies back twice as hard and look forward to being brutal to the commies. And he says, I can say his name. His name is Zach. Zach. And everybody who sympathizes with Zach, and I know there are many of you, I get these emails quite a bit. When's it time to kick it off? When's it time to start shooting? When it's listen. One, any kind of a civil conflict anywhere
it's always the most horrible, heartbreaking, awful thing ever. It's not just America's Civil War. Whenever there is a civil war where you're fighting against other people in your country and you're fighting in your hometown, in your physical home, your child's school is gone, the people you love die, don't ever wish for that day. No matter how angry these people make you, no matter how nutso they get, don't wish for that day. That's one. Two, if that day ever does come, and I pray to God it does not, you will not need Trump or me or anybody to tell you it's time. You will know when the time is right. And I hope you never have to know that, but now ain't it. And three, remember this. All of America is not Washington, D.C. All of America is not San Francisco, New York City. There are gigantic pockets of this country that are moving along just fine, where life is very, very normal. And yes, the people are abused from D.C., and the press is evil, and the FBI is evil, and the CIA is evil, and I know all these things. All these things are true. But there is a ton of America that can still be preserved if we get involved. What we are not is involved. That is the problem. We don't vote. We don't get involved. We don't even get involved in primaries. You're talking about kicking something off, and I do. I understand your anger. I'm not belittling you at all. I understand that. We can't even get the GOP base to turn out for a primary vote. You think we're really ready to cobble together some revolutionary force to kick it all off? Be serious. The Republicans you would need on your side to kick something like that off were all wearing masks 3 years ago and bragging about their third booster shot. Come on now. We're not there. All right? Let's hope we never get there. All right. Queso and burgers. Cereal. We have to talk about sharing a bed. Taxes. Illegal immigration. My ADHD, which I don't have. And more. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the men who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first Black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I have one more serious thing I want to do, and then I just kind of want to try to screw off for the rest of the show. And I can't decide if I'm ready to do the serious thing yet because it makes me so angry. So I decided I'm going to put it off for a couple minutes. So let's just deal with a couple more Ask Dr. Jesse questions. And then I'll deal with one more serious thing about motherhood and children and tranny crap and everything else. Let's deal with this. Hey, historical oracle. The dime lady friend still listens to terrible music. Worth it. She's 5'3". I'm not a 6'8 Adonis like you, but I'm definitely taller than average and I prefer a king-size bed. You've mentioned Ob is petite. I woke up early the a.m. with my perfect fun-sized lady having invaded nearly three-fourths of my king-size bed. I still don't know how she managed to do it. Does your wonderful woman ever pull this on you? How do they do it? Larry and Raya. Raya is a hot chick name, Chris. Did you know that? It is. What do you mean you don't know? It is a hot chick name. You never heard of a Raya? Chris, it sounds exotic. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Listen, women do this.
And they do this, and it's a power move for women. I'm telling you right now, because my wife does the same thing. 5'2", just a tiny little thing, and there I am, 6'8". And she'll deny it. She lies. She's such a dirty liar. She's like, you hogged the bed. You hogged the blankets. No. You wake up in the morning, and she's just sprawled out all over that thing like she owns the place. And then, God forbid, you try to move a little bit of cover underneath her leg or something like that. And she'd be like, you made me cold. You woke me up. I was cold. Why'd you bump me in the middle of the night? I bumped you because you were underneath me. That's why. The power of small women do this, trying to assert dominance. Don't let her do it, buddy. I'm telling you right now. What, Chris? What are you shaking your head at? What? It's the... No, I know you have to be a rock, Chris. We're not talking. I know you don't give in. I wasn't saying give in. The problem is they do this when you're sleeping and they know they can get away with it. You wake up at 3 a.m. and you're sitting there with hypothermia and your lips are blue because she's stolen all of your Giza dream sheets from MyPillow. All you have left is your MyPillow 2.0, which I admit it's temperature regulating, but it doesn't keep your body warm and comfortable. She's taken all your Giza dream sheets. You're now left there with just the pillow. And so this is why whenever they have a big Giza dream sheet sale, this is why you always need to buy two sets. You need to keep a spare set of Giza Dream Sheets by your bed for when your woman steals it. Right now, they're on sale, $59.98 for a set of Giza Dream Sheets, greatest sheets ever. King size sheets are just $10 more with the promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square, use the promo code Jesse, or call them 800-845-0544. She steals the Giza dream sheets. She steals the blankets in the middle of the night. So you wake up freezing. And now, unless you have a second set by your bed, you don't have options. You have to try to take some covers back and take some of the bed back. And that's when you get the whining. Now I'm cold. Can you warm me up? This is how they get us, fellas. This is how they get us. Dear Menu Whisperer, I've made your burgers many times for my family. The kids love them. My wife thinks they're too hot. I made your queso without telling her it was the great chef Jesse's recipe. She loved it, even though the queso clearly has more kick. Yes, that's really weird. The queso has a lot more kick than the burger. Huh. Anyway, women are strange, but my question to you is this. Have you ever combined your two culinary masterpieces together as a queso burger? Says his name is Ryan. I have never combined my world-famous smoked queso with my world-famous cheeseburger. By the way, those are the only two things I know how to make, so stop asking me to write a recipe book. Those are the only two things I'm any good at. I've never combined the two things. I have a concern. All right, a concern. And this is what I mean. What if it's too much? And I'm not... It's not as if I'm that simple of a man. I want flavor, right? That's why my burger is not just salt and pepper. You got to put some love into it. Little this, little that, little this, which we've gone over several times. So I like flavor. I like bold flavor. But the cheeseburger is already so bold with flavor, you don't need any condiments. You just throw it, burger, cheese, right on the bun and eat, and you don't need condiments with it. That's how full of flavor the burger is. But the queso... It's not only just as full of flavor, it's hot too, and there's meat in it. Remember, you got to brown, well, not brown, but you got to make sure you cook up some chipotle, or not chipotle, some chorizo, Chris. That's what you want.
Buenas tardes.
You have to cook up some chorizo for the queso and the tortillas. Either way, the queso is not only warm, it's full of flavor. I think it might be too much. Look, I'm all ears. Jesse, I want to vote in the local election. I plan on voting straight Republican. No party was listed. I turned in my ballot blank. Next time, I'll bring a list with me. Love your show. I'm listening from Londonderry, New Hampshire on the great WRKO out of Boston. I love WRKO. I love Grace Curley. Just WRKO is awesome. It's Howie Carr. It's great. It's great. So anyway, Jan is her name. Jan, let me give you a little heads up. Everybody, a little heads up. Before you go vote in elections, in fact, I voted early today. Today you can still vote early. It's primary voting in Texas. before you go vote in elections, print a sample ballot off of your election. And let me explain. Where do you get that? You get that from your Secretary of State's website. Your Secretary of State has a website on it with all the information you need about your local election. Who's on the ballot? What's on the ballot? Print off a sample ballot that it gives you something in your physical possession to go do research on the various candidates and their stances. Now is when you come in and say, but Jesse, I don't know about my candidate. I can't find out information about my candidate. I get that question a lot. How do I find out more about your candidate? Well, first, there is no substitute. I'm sorry, introverts like me. There is no substitute for putting a hand in someone else's hand and shaking a hand. Your local candidate running for school board, running for city council, running for state house or state senate, they do public events. They put those public events up either on their website or social media. They do that a lot today. I'm not saying for you to join social media. You certainly don't need to, but I bet you $1 million your local candidate has a Facebook page, and I bet you on that Facebook page they have their next meet and greet on there. It'll be at some bar for cocktails and cinnamon rolls on a Friday night. It'll be a pancake breakfast at the American Legion, whatever it may be. I know it's hard. I know it's a pain talking to people and everything. Believe me, I understand that, especially once the weekend hits and you're off work. Go meet your local candidates for office. You can ask them very pointed questions. Politely ask them pointed questions. You need to be very firm and specific when you ask them questions. When you're speaking to, let's say, your local candidate for sheriff, don't be afraid. Ask him. If the Federal Bureau of Investigation tries to violate my civil rights, are you, as my county sheriff, prepared to protect me from them? That's a question for your local sheriff. Ask him that question. See if he squirms. Or see if he answers boldly. He might just surprise you. There are some amazing local sheriffs out there. There are some dirtballs. Ask your local school board candidate trying to earn your vote, trying to earn some money. Ask your candidate not just if all this DEI tranny crap should be removed from schools. Ask them if they think patriotism should be promoted in schools. Watch what they say. Now, maybe you're too far from your candidates, or maybe your candidates really aren't campaigning. Maybe you're too introverted. Congratulations. Thank you, I guess I should say, to Jewish producer Chris for this one. I forgot about this. Ballotpedia.com. 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 It has a candidate page for most political candidates. It'll give you some of their stances. It'll give you some of their endorsements that can let you know kind of which way your candidate leads. But Ballotpedia.com is a great place to check it out. Chris, I bet I'm still on Ballotpedia.com. Look me up, Chris. Am I on there? I am, but no picture? We need to get them a picture of me. What, Chris? Find the most handsome? No. Find the most over-the-top, ridiculous picture of me and send them that. Anyway, we have one more segment. I'll get to it. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, you can email the show, even though it's almost the weekend time, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm only going to do one more serious thing. I promised you I would get to it. And Chris doubts me, but I'm going to prove him wrong like I always do. He doubts that I can get through this without getting my blood pressure up, but I want you to know that I am mega calm right now. I don't think I've ever been this calm, but I'm going to play you the audio of something real quick. This is a mother. She's standing in front of a town meeting in Kansas. And, you know, I get a lot of hate mail, and that's fine, hate email, when I call liberal white women the most vile, violent creature on the planet. People do not understand how truly violent liberal white women are. They're the most evil creatures on the planet. And the reason I say that is this. I'm not even isolating it to human. I'm talking about living things There is nothing more violent and vile than the liberal white woman. She's more violent than the communists in China. She's more violent than a radical jihadist. And you know why she's actually more violent? Even an animal, even most animals in the animal kingdom, with some exceptions, obviously, most animals in the animal kingdom, the mother, she's born with an instinct to protect her babies. And because I have such a wonderful mother, who I just treasure her, that's the kind of mom I've always known. And my wife is the same kind of mother to my children. Her children are everything to her. And she would die 1,000 times a day if it meant protecting her babies. As I said, even animals. We have bugs will operate like this. Protection of your young. Protection of your babies. But the liberal white woman, she will not only kill all of hers in the womb, she will have them, and then she will essentially raise them as if she's fattening a calf for sacrifice. Have you ever heard of a Wagyu meat, Wagyu steak? You've probably heard of it, if not, if you've ever tried it. I've tried it before. It's this majorly expensive steak. It's like $100 for a few ounces of it. It's crazy expensive, so people don't buy it, right? But if you ever go look into how they raise it, and I'm not anti-Wagyu, I'm not some animal rights guy, it really is kind of gross. The animals aren't even allowed to exercise. Like, it's wild, the grooming they have to do of the animal to turn a cow into being qualified for Wagyu beef. Yeah, same kind of thing for veal, Chris. Cow, it's same kind of thing. It's crazy, right? And I'm not crying for the cows, but it's a lot. The liberal white woman will do that to her own children. It should be instinctive. It should be part of her nature that she would protect them at any cost, die for them. The liberal white woman, though, it's not even just that she'll kill them. She will groom them and fatten the calf with the intention of sacrificing them for social acceptance. There's nothing more violent than that. Nothing. Nothing in the world is more violent and vile than this. The pedophile sitting in prison right now is not this vile.
All too often, I hear leaders...
Not this one here, 18.
My name is Elise Flatland. I've been a resident of Kansas for the last 20 years. I have 4 children, 2 girls, 2 boys. My oldest is my transgender daughter, and my youngest is an 11-year-old transgender boy. Both of my children have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, and both are currently receiving gender-affirming care. Through this care, my husband and my consent has always been required. They have asked my children what they envision their bodies looking like as an adult, and never once did they mention surgery to my children. We are well aware of what is going on with our children. It is not the government's job to decide.
Purple hair, the works. Look, I'm just going to stop her there. That human being is as violent as any Nazi camp guard who watched over the Holocaust, as any one of Stalin's goons who starved people to death. You know why? Because those are her own babies. Those are her babies. And a mother would do anything to protect her babies, unless you're a liberal white woman. And then you turn into a friggin' monster. A monster. That's a monster. Sorry. That human being should be locked away and her children should be taken from her. It's a fact. All right. I'm calm though. Told you, Chris. I didn't even raise my voice. You know what it is, Chris? This is part, you know, new calm Jesse. This is part of being pain-free. When you don't have these nagging pains like your right knee. Because it's going to rain here tonight. And because of a few more miles on my knee than I should have had on it in the Marine Corps, that when it's going to rain, my right knee normally aches. It makes me short-tempered and then lose my temper on the radio. But now that I take Relief Factor every day, I don't have the knee aches all the time. Drug-free Relief Factor helps your body fight inflammation naturally, whatever that inflammation is, muscle pain, joint pain, neck, back, hands, feet. Let Relief Factor help you live pain-free with a better temper. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com, all right? All right.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Jesse, is it true that Chris and Michael have to do a sweep of the studio before every show to remove all the shiny objects? And the subject of this one is your attention span. I am not ADHD. I'm a hugely focused person.
But my focus is just stay focused.
Dear Jesse, I want to travel to the UK. That's it. That's all the email says. My question to you is, why? The food is so bad. Dear sir, in honor of the modern-day Marie Antoinette, what is your favorite cereal? She's talking about that Kellogg's CEO who told everyone struggling that they should eat cereal for dinner. A long time ago, they had a cereal called S'mores. It was just what you'd picture. It was Golden Grahams with some marshmallows in it and little chocolate pieces. S'mores cereal was the best, but that was kind of gimmicky. As far as brands that are still around, nothing will touch Captain Crunch. Captain Crunch is just superior. Peanut Butter Captain Crunch is probably second. Golden Grahams, or no, Cinnamon Toast Crunch would be third. Golden Grahams is up there. Other than that, a lot of this stuff is kind of garbage. Lucky Charms, it's cardboard with marshmallows in it. Don't defend Lucky Charms to me. Don't be that person. By the way, this is the kind of person you need to be. The kind who sets his phone aside, maybe even puts it in the drawer for the weekend to enjoy your family and your community. Put a smile on your face. Put your phone down. We'll be back with Medal of Honor Monday. I have a little extra background on one we've done before. Get ready for that on Monday, all right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.